see right now, without LeBron, Lakers are struggling.
Let me tell you about a team I hate, all right? I know the Dallas Cowboys fan is here, so I had to make sure he knew how much I hate this team.
Oh, I'm ready.
I've often said that the people who run baseball, they try very hard to ruin it.
I'm from Brooklyn. I don't have a problem saying it to his face.
Oh, I'm from Brooklyn.
Hey, isn't he?
This is a presentation of Northeast Streaming Sports.
Good morning. You're listening to the Mac and Jack Sports Show on Northeast Streaming Sports.
Think better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater.
So anything you can do, I can do greater, but I'm not really the debate people here, the debate person. I'm more the moderator today. We've got the Mac, Jack, and Doc Saturday debate show and a lot of football topics. Mac and Jack, how you guys doing? Happy Saturday. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Doc. Happy New Year to you, fellas.
Happy New Year to everybody out there. And tomorrow, New Year's Eve day, will be Byron Williams' anniversary. He'll be married. I don't know how long he's married to his wife, but I know it's been a long time. You can tell how old he is. But tomorrow will be his anniversary. I'll say it again tomorrow. Good morning, everyone.
Awesome. Very, very nice. So let's start off with a quarterback. Everybody thinks that when we talk quarterbacks, we talk Zach Wilson. Or when we talk quarterbacks, we talk Aaron Rodgers. Or Daniel Jones. But today we're going to start off with a different team, the Broncos. Seems Russell Wilson was benched. And so here's a great question. Will Russell Wilson be a starting quarterback in the NFL next year?
Well, yeah, obviously he will. It just depends on where he's going to go to. Because there are few teams that are quarterback needy. I mean, you could look at a team like the Atlanta Falcons. They're very unhappy with Desmond Ridder. They would certainly take Russell Wilson to snap the thing if the finances can be worked out. No team is going to pay that massive contract, but the Broncos are basically going to have to eat a good part of it. So there'll be a home for Russell Wilson somewhere, okay? Because there are a few teams that are going to be quarterback needy. If you just go down the list, look, Baker Mayfield, he found a home this year, didn't he? Okay? Their place is the Washington Commanders. I mean, Sam Howell hasn't worked out. And now they benched him for Jacoby Brissett, who's been a career backup. So Russell Wilson might be able to find a home there. Doc, I don't think you can make the ultimate decision on quarterbacks after you made that Derek Carr decision, how wonderful he was siding with Mac. And now there's turmoil in New Orleans with Derek Carr weeks later. But there's going to be a home for Russell Wilson somewhere because there are like a few job openings.
I don't think he'll be starting next year at all. I think he's going to take probably a year off, as Jack mentioned, the contract will be the biggest thing. I think he's making close to $25, $30 million a year. Baker Mayfield's a terrible example. I think Baker Mayfield made like, I don't know, $8 million or $5 million or something this year to play. He's just signed another contract. I don't got the numbers on him yet, but I don't think Russell Wilson will play. He's got made plenty of money. He made $120 million the last couple of years there. He's got plenty of time to sit back, pick where he wants to go. I don't think he'll go and play for a team that's rebuilding. I doubt that if he does. But I agree with Jack with the point. Another team's going to help pay it, which is another problem. I mean, you're talking a lot of money to sign a quarterback that's been in the league for almost, I don't know how many years, Jack, what, 13 years or so?
He's not going to pay most of the money, Matt. The Broncos are going to have to eat most of the
contract. They might have to. I mean, if they want to, they don't have to. That's got to be something that's worked out between Russell Wilson and the new team. I mean, right now, Denver still owns the rights to him, even though they benched him. So who's to say that they do give him? We got to find out what they do this year, too. I mean, they got Stedman going in to replace him right now. They're 7-8. They still got some very small chance of making the playoffs. What happens if Stedman gets hurt? What are they going to do then? Are they going to put in another practice squad guy? The old practice squad.
We're talking about next year. We're not talking about the remaining game.
But what I'm saying is we don't know yet, Jack, because we don't know what's going to happen at the end of this year. If Stedman gets hurt, who goes in? I think Russell
Wilson. Well, we know next season they'll be moving on from Russell Wilson. That is pretty obvious at this point.
Well, they still got to pay him, Jack.
They still absolutely contractually obligated to pay him. But the Broncos aren't going to keep Russell Wilson on their roster next year, even if they have to pay him.
That's what they say. They got to March 24th to let him go, or they're going to owe him another year's salary. But they're still gonna have that $85 million dead space on their cap there. So they really are, whether they want them there or not, they're still gonna pay them. What I'm saying is this is gonna be clearly up to Russell Wilson. Why would he want to go play for the Atlanta Falcons or the Patriots or the Giants? These are some of the teams that are named. I mean, or the Commanders. These teams still are rebuild, they're rebuilding. Why would he want to go play there? I don't know. We're going to find out if Russell Wilson really likes football. I'll tell you that, because he really doesn't have to play next year. He doesn't have to play forever if he doesn't want to.
Obviously, anyone can retire if they want. Any player in the NFL, assuming Russell Wilson elects to play, and in all probability he will, but let's assume that, will he be able to be a starting quarterback somewhere for at least one team? And that the answer to that is yes. There'll be a few job openings out there.
Well, Rick brings up a good point. Only next year is guaranteed. That's still, I don't know, $35 million. The point is, it just came out that they told Russell Wilson to redo his contract, or they were going to bench him. So we already knew a couple games ago during a bye week, whenever they had that bye week, that this is what they were going to do to him. So he already knew that, and he still didn't restructure his contract. He wants all that money that he can get. Now, I don't know, Rick, they owe him $200. What is it, Jack? They're paying him, what is it, $35 million a year?
Listen, obviously, but Denver is not going to keep him on their team next year. The idea that they're benching him with two games to go, that's a clear sign they're moving on from him. He's gone. The question is, will he be able to start for someone next year? Will he have to be a backup in the league? And he won't have to be a backup, because there'll be at least one team out there who's going to want Russell Wilson to start for them, and they're not going to pay him a whole big sum of money to do so.
That is not the question, whether he could start. Of course he could start. The question is, will he start? I don't think he's going to, Jack. I think he's going to wait. I mean, they still got to go through the draft. They still got other free agents that are out there that could sign.
Wait for what, Matt? You're saying he's going to sit the year out?
He could do just what Flacco did. Wait till the end of the year to come in if he wants to. He could do whatever he
Flacco,
wants.
Flacco, no one wanted to sign Flacco.
I understand.
Flacco couldn't get a job anywhere.
Eventually, someone did want Flacco, right?
Yes, in the event, and someone.
All right. So what I'm saying, Jack, is what you're saying is that he's definitely going to be with a team start next year. I don't think so. I don't think he's definitely going to be with a team next year when the season starts. And if he is, are you going to let him just come in and start for your team? Are you going to have him compete for a starting position? I don't know what's going to happen there. The thing I'm saying is Russell Wilson does not have to, and I don't think he will be a starting quarterback in the beginning of this year coming up and the next cycle the NFL comes up. I don't think he will be a starter. I don't think he wants to. Why would he? He's got plenty of money, and he can pick where he wants to go. He's in a perfect position right now. Why force his way out to a team or go to a team like the Patriots or the Giants or the Commanders? Would you do that if you were a 9-time Pro Bowl champion, Super Bowl quarterback? I wouldn't.
He's not going to go to the Kansas City Chiefs and Miami Dolphins. Obviously, to get a starting quarterback position, you have to go to a team that needs a quarterback, and those are the teams that aren't the better NFL teams.
Well, the Raiders right now have a pretty good team, and they don't have a real starting quarterback, right?
Why wouldn't he go there?
Exactly. That might be a destination for him.
Let me ask you, though. Why wouldn't he? go to New England?
Because they're rebuilding and the coaching situation is up in the air.
All right, let's say the Patriots bring back Bill Belichick. So the coaching situation isn't up in the air anymore. And you are an NFL quarterback, and you have a chance at the end of your career to play for Bill Belichick, wouldn't you?
I don't know. You might, but I don't know if I would. I mean, if you think
Matt, first Matt, of all, signed with the Broncos. Wait, let me cut in. Russell Wilson left Seattle, where he was in a winning program, to go to the Broncos, who weren't a winning program.
They gave him a fortune of money, obviously. Jack, I think he forced the trade. I don't know. I think they just traded him to the Broncos. I don't think he went. I don't know the fact that he just picked the Broncos. He wanted out of Seattle, or Seattle wanted him gone. One or the other happened there. I'm not sure what happened there. I'm not sure that he
right. Wanted. It was a trade. I agree. It was a trade. Right. But he had a no trade with Seattle, and he agreed to waive it. Obviously, for the money, he did.
Right. But if you think about it, Jack, if you're at the end of your career, if you're a boxer and you're at the end of your career, are you going to box a young guy? Are you going to box a guy if you have a shot to box a champion? Who are you going to box? You're not going to box the young guy and work your way up.
You're not going to get a chance to box a champion a lot of times if you're at the end. It's a whole different thing involved here. The question is this. Will Russell Wilson be able to start somewhere next
will he
year?
Not, will he be able to? Of course he'll be able to. The question is, will he?
Will he want to? What he wants to do, he's going to want to play somewhere. He's going to want to get the best situation possible. He's going to maybe want to get an environment where him and his wife enjoy living in the type of city as well. Okay, that always factors into it. You have a family, where you want to live, and it's the culture of the program as well. New England, like Doc mentions, if Bill Belichick's back there, they badly need a quarterback. He might see that as a great situation moving forward. We don't know what he would.
From what I read, Bill said he's done. Bill Belichick said that boat has gone. That's what I've read. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but I read that Bill Belichick said it's over in New England. Point being, you have Minnesota who has a decent team. You have teams out there that are maybe a quarterback away.
They're
a quarterback away. So I mean, those are the teams. Why they mention Atlanta? The thing that I don't understand is why are they mentioning teams that are trying to rebuild? And even if the Pats got Russell Wilson, their offensive line is terrible. The Giants' offensive line is terrible. If for some reason Aaron Rodgers can't go and they decide.
The Giants are locked into Daniel Jones next year. He's getting big money next year. So Daniel Jones is going to be the Giant quarterback next year. Maybe the Giants will draft a quarterback this year. Russell Wilson isn't in the equation with the Giants. But Minnesota, the Vikings.
The Colts,
like the
Tennessee Titans. I mean, there's teams that are right at the cusp, right there.
So it seems like he would play. Why wouldn't he play? If you have a chance to play for a team that's right on the cusp, why would you sit the season out?
Sitting a season out is like a death sentence.
And then it becomes impossible to come back.
It becomes harder to come back. You're less appealing to other teams coming off a layoff if you know the player.
Well, you know, if anybody can afford it, I agree with Jack. If anybody can afford that $37.5 million that he's getting, I just got the right number. If anybody can afford that, they'll pay it. And they'll have a quarterback that is
old. But the Broncos have to pay it.
Well, if another team signs him, the other team has to pay it.
No other team's going to pay that monster money.
I agree.
The Broncos are on the hook for that money. Yeah. They signed the contract. So if he goes to another team, the Broncos still have to pay him.
No, they don't, Doc. If you sign him, you have to pay him. You have to work on a deal.
He's going to have to.
If you sign Russell Wilson. Now, Jack, we're not.
No, you can't sign him because he's the property of the Broncos.
This is what it is, Doc. In 2024, if they don't release him, in other words, if they don't get rid of Russell Wilson, if they don't take him off the roster, they're going to owe him a guaranteed contract next year. So they got till March of 2024 to get rid of Russell Wilson, whether it's release him, whether it's trade him, whatever. So by March of 2024, they got to get rid of Russell Wilson. If somebody picks him up, he then becomes the rights to that team. The team owns the rights to him now if they sign him. But there's still that whole contract that has to be sort of like what happened with Aaron Rodgers. They still owe him the rest of that money. Whoever signs him owes him that contract. They're signing his contract is what they're doing.
So no, Matt, you got it wrong.
What Jack is saying is that they're not going to pay that money. I agree with that. No team is going to give him that amount of money for the next how many years this contract is. No team's going to do that. So Denver is going to have to do something with that contract, whether it's help pay that contract or pay the whole contract, what Denver will not do. So that's the question. That's why Denver is going to get rid of him before March of
2020. Well, let me make the comparison, and Doc, you can relate to this. Let's say the Yankees want to get rid of Giancarlo Stanton during this upcoming season. The team that picks him up will be obligated to just pay a tiny amount. The way they'll work it out, the Yankees will be on the hook for the vast majority of the money. And that's how
I agree
with Russell Wilson. Same situation. No team's going to say, oh, we want Russell Wilson. We'll pay his full contract. Right. It would be ludicrous.
Right.
Because the Broncos have to pay him, no?
Yeah.
Right. So whether the Broncos release him or not, the Broncos are on the hook for $37.5 million.
The vast majority.
But what happens, what Jack is not saying, if they don't release him before 2024, it's guaranteed, Doc. There's no wiggle room. They have to get rid of this guy off the roster before March 2024. You understand what I'm saying? That dead money is still there. But the guarantee is what we're talking about with March of 2024.
Well, more than that, there's a cap hit in the NFL, meaning when you get rid of a guy, you have more flexibility, payroll flexibility to sign other players.
Right. Yeah, so it's all about the guaranteed money when it comes to March.
Rick says next year is guaranteed.
Yeah.
All right. So guaranteed means the Broncos have to pay him.
Right. That's why he could take
if he plays, the Broncos will give him $37.5 million. If he sits, the Broncos will pay him $37.5 million.
And this is why I was saying back in the beginning that he does not have to play next year if he doesn't want to. He's still getting paid.
Right, but if another team picks him up, if they're not on the hook for the $37.5 million, the Broncos still are.
The Broncos are not going to pay him to play somewhere else, Doc.
That happens all the time in sports, doesn't it? If the Yankees release Giancarlo Stanton, the Yankees are on the hook for his contract. If he gets DFA'd, another team picks him up for the major league minimum, and the Yankees still have to pay Giancarlo Stanton the rest of his contract. That's
minus
how it works. Minus the minimum. But
right.
That's so what are you talking? The minimum? A couple hundred thousand, a couple million? So if it's the same thing in the NFL, the Broncos have to pay him $37.5 million. So they release him. They still owe him $37.5 million. Another team can pick him up. Isn't it the same thing at the league minimum? So they have to pay him $2 million? The Broncos are still paying $35 million of it. No?
I don't know how that works because I don't think another team would pick him up if they're still going to have to pay. I don't think Denver would allow that to happen because they're playing for another team. Why would I get rid of a player, Doc, and send him another team and pay his salary?
Maybe a team, if they owe him hypothetically $35 million, another team might find Russell Wilson appealing and might say, we'll pay him $7, $8
million. Correct.
For 35. Right. And Denver might look to negotiate that way, some type of deal.
Correct. And
I think Russell Wilson has a no trade that clause in there. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But then he'd have some say where he'd go. But one thing's for sure, Russell Wilson, either he's going to want to play next year and he's going to immediately get the best situation he can and he's going to start for someone, okay? Or he's not going to play at all and he's going to basically retire, call it a day, take his money. Everything points to him playing. He's not going to sit a year out and then say, I'm coming back the following year. because at his age, that's just going to weaken his position, make him so much less appealing.
Well, I don't think he'll take the full. I don't think he'll take the full year off. I think he'll wait, like some quarterbacks have in the past, and coming at the end.
For what? There's no advantage
to make sure. To make sure that he gets in the right situation, Jack. It's just like when Baker Mayfield got signed with the Rams, he came in at the end of the year, Jack. And that's when he may help make the Rams make that little run there. He didn't start with the Rams.
He got cut. Carolina Panthers moved on from Baker Mayfield. So he went to the Rams. He didn't have much choice where he was going to go. He was just glad to have a job somewhere at that point. And then he moved on to Tampa, and he competed for the starting job, and he got it, and he's playing well. So things worked out. He didn't manipulate the situation where he was an automatic starter somewhere. He found the best situation for him, and that's what Russell Wilson will do this year. There'll be a few openings. He'll see what the best situation is and try to work it out, you know, to go to that particular destination.
All right. So let's move on to a different quarterback, Tommy DeVito. Is the DeVito era over?
You're both going to say yes, but it's not. As long as he's got a roster spot with the Giants, the DeVito craze will still go on. May not be as big, but it will still go on. He will be loved by a certain percentage of the Giants. He's a great story. He might open a couple pizza places. He's going to be – he went from Danny DeVito to Tommy DeVito to Danny Cutlets. And this guy has a lot of fans in New York. In fact, he has a lot of fans around the NFL of the Italian heritage. They love the kid. He went in. They won 3 games in a row underneath him. He will – as long as he's got a roster spot with the Giants, he will be – there will be some sort of DeVito craze. If for some reason – the two quarterbacks in front of them, whether Daniel Jones or if they're going to keep Tyrod Taylor. If they get hurt again, Danny Jones, here comes Tommy Cutlets again. And if he lights them up like Zappy's doing right now with the Patriots, you know, that craze is maybe on a back burner, kind of smoldering right now. But that craze is not over yet, guys. You mark my words on this. As long as DeVito's got a roster spot, it's that ember is still burning on that back burner. Trust me there.
You know, all these guys, Mac, who come in and they create a buzz for a game or so because their team plays well. You embrace them as the future quarterback of the team, blah, blah, blah. They never pan out, your guys. They fall to me. Zappy's not lighting anything up. The Patriots are terrible this year. Zappy's not starting for anyone next year. The only reason he's in there playing because Mac Jones has been ridiculously bad. So Zappy's in there by default, and the Patriots are going to have one of the higher draft picks this year because they're so bad. Tommy DeVito strikes me as a very nice kid, a very nice person. He just can't play well. He's just not a good quarterback. Not his fault. You know, don't blame him for that. He's just not good. And we've seen it the last. He got benched. He's not an NFL starting quarterback. What he did for himself, he proved he's good enough to hold a roster spot as a third string quarterback. I would have him on my team as a third string quarterback. He wouldn't be my primary backup. You're in major trouble if you're counting on Tommy DeVito to be your primary backup, let alone a starting quarterback. He got benched the game against the Eagles. The game before that against the Saints, he was awful. He's not good. And the 3-game winning streak the Giants had, one of the games they won strictly on their defense. The other game, he was against a terrible Washington Commander team who every quarterback in this league is lighting up when they play the Commanders. But kudos to Tommy DeVito. He didn't do worse. And then he played well in one game against Green Bay. Kudos to him. He played well in that game against an average Green Bay Packer team. But he got the job done. Kudos to him. Forget this nonsensical phrase. There's a reason Tommy DeVito didn't didn't even make the Giant team this year. They put him on the practice squad. And then they finally had to suit him up because of injuries to Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor. And because he said he lives at home and he eats his mom's chicken cutlets and she makes his bed and he's a Jersey guy, the story was taking off and giving him the name Tommy Cutlets, this and that. You're a Giant fan. What I hope for you, Mac, I hope he's your starting quarterback next year. I hope so. I hope Daniel Jones is traded. I don't want to see him get injured because I'm going to be laughing at the Giants' 4-13 record next year with Tommy Cutlets. Cutlets will get cut from the team. You know,
that was terrible. First of all, I did not say that in any way that DeVito would be a starting quarterback for the Giants. In fact, I didn't even know if he'll be on the roster next year. That's what you said. You'd keep him around.
You said that's a craze. It hasn't ended.
I said the craze has not ended. As long as the Giants do what you say and keep him on the roster, the craze will not end because he is a Jersey guy.
Let's ask that question. If that's true and there's a craze and all this fan desire for him to be on the team and playing, does it make sense for the Giants to have that distraction when they're trying for Daniel Jones to come back? I mean, if Jones comes back and he doesn't do well, they're going to be chanting for Tommy DeVito, DeVito, DeVito. Is that a good way? So if you are the Giants, let's ask the question this way. Would you even bring him back?
That's a great question. Can I cut in? Because there's a precedent. The biggest craze we've seen in the NFL for years with a quarterback coming in as a backup was Tim Tebow. But Tim Tebow was one of the great college players of all time. It didn't translate as a pro. And Tim Tebow, for whatever crazy reason, even though he wasn't playing that great, they get these miracle victories at the end, like one after the other. Then he'd take a knee in prayer, and the nation would go crazy. And like Tommy Cutlets, Tim Tebow's a very modest, well-spoken guy. You can't help but like Tommy Cutlets and Tim Tebow, seeing the two of them. But when the Broncos signed Peyton Manning the following season, they cut Tim Tebow because even though Peyton Manning's an all-time great, no one wanted to hear, we want Tebow if Manning throws a few bad passes. I don't really think you're going to get that much with, even if Daniel Jones next year is a start and he's playing poorly, we want Tommy, we want Tommy. I don't think it's going to be a big uproar because we've seen Tommy the last couple of games and he faltered. He didn't show anything. So I think the Giant fan base is a little too smart to go crazy asking for,
I don't think they're that smart. I think the most popular player on the team is second string quarterback. And if Daniel Jones does, we don't even know if he'll play next year or not because it's a neck injury. That's going to be interesting just to see if he does play next year or start next year. I've always said they're going to go after a quarterback, but I think that, listen, as long as he's there, he's from Jersey. He's got a lot of people out there that really love this kid. As Jack said, nice kid, played at Syracuse, was a very good quarterback at Syracuse too. He's athletic. He's got a decent arm. I don't think he's got a strong arm. He's got a decent arm. And as long as he's there and showing that he won 3 games in a row. I mean, you see the comparisons today on Facebook and the groups. DeVito's won more games than you know, Daniel Jones and more games than Tyrod Taylor and all this stuff. It's going to be there. People are going to want him there. And
if that's the case, he's going to be a distraction. And if you were running the Giants, if I were running the Giants, I don't think I'd want him around.
You know, I don't know, Doc, because he could be a decent backup quarterback. Jack said he won't be. I don't know that he won't be a decent backup quarterback. I'm not sure about that.
They bench him.
Well, they bench him just like they bench a lot of second string quarterbacks when they can't do it, Doc. All I'm saying is this is his first year in the NFL, and if he gets some work off season. Under a quarterback coach, he's in the system for a year, and you know he knows a little bit more now. Who's to say that if something happens to the starting quarterback, he can't go in there for a few games and hold off? I mean, that's
right. Doc mentioned a great point: distractions. Okay, I'm not giving a position, you know, a Colin Kaepernick situation. The reason Colin Kaepernick never got back into the NFL was the distraction issue, because at that point in his career, he wasn't an elite quarterback anymore. If it was Patrick Mahomes in Colin Kaepernick's position, Patrick Mahomes would still be starting. If it was
that's apples and oranges, Jack. You're talking about a national audience turning against.
No, I'm talking about coaches. They don't want any type of distraction.
That's not even close to Colin Kaepernick's distraction. I mean, Tim Tebow was a decent comparison. That is just crazy. That's apples and oranges. You're talking about a guy politically.
I'm not giving an opinion on any of this stuff.
I know you're not, but that's you're talking about a nationwide distraction, Jack, compared to somebody who's, you know, not doing his laundry at home. That's a little different. I mean,
I'm talking about what a coach is going to put up with. A backup quarterback. I'm going to give you an idea of the Yankees. Let's say you have a marginal player. And he chews Aaron Boone out in the dugout. You blankety blank, 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 blank. Chances are he's going to be gone soon after. The Yankees don't need a distraction. If it's Aaron Judge getting in Aaron Boone's face, there'll be a lot of patience for Aaron Judge. He's not going to be gone so quickly or at all. They're going to work along with him to try to solve the problem. There's going to be a lot more patience is what I'm saying. And the point is, with distractions and backup quarterbacks, you don't want the distraction there at all. And with Tommy DeVito, I don't think there'd be a distraction at this point, because I think Giant fans have things in perspective. They know it's a nice story. They really don't want him as their starting quarterback moving forward. You know, Daniel Jones will be the guy next season. The jury is out. Chances are the Giants, they might draft a quarterback this offseason. I think Giant fans will be good with it if they think it's the right guy that they can get. And I just don't think it's a nice story. Tommy DeVito, if he could stick with the Giants the next few years as a backup, it'll be a nice little story because he's a local guy. Everyone likes that, a local Jersey guy. A local Philadelphia guy like Apollo Creed said, giving him a shot at the greatest title on earth, the people of Philadelphia would eat it up. And now Giant fans will eat it up. Oh, they like nothing better than a local Jersey guy wearing the most prestigious uniform, you know?
Well, it will be a very good trivia question 20 years from now. You know, who is Tommy Cutlets? That will be an interesting trivia question, if nothing else, so.
Interesting. If he was any good, and again, I haven't watched him play at all this year, so I don't know that. But if the Giants felt he was good and that he had a legitimate start to be a starter or even a legitimate backup, why would you bench him the last couple games of a lost season anyway? Tyrod Taylor isn't the future of the Giants. Tyrod Taylor isn't the future backup of the Giants, probably. So if you're a smart organization, wouldn't you play the kid, DeVito, to give him all those reps? You were saying before that maybe he works in the offseason. But offseason training, that's great. It's wonderful, but it doesn't equate to in-game preparation. You learn more by playing in the games and real life situations. So wouldn't it make sense if the Giants had any faith in Tommy DeVito that he plays these next couple weeks?
No, Doc, you play to win the game. You don't play to see how you play to win a game. It doesn't matter whether you have a losing season or not. You got players out there playing for next year's contract. They don't want to hear you're going to do an experiment in the last two games.
But it's not an experiment. He's played already this year.
I'm saying if you have a quarterback, such as Tyrod Taylor, who's been in the league for 13 years, gives you the best chance to win. That's who you're playing. You're not going to play a kid that's a rookie in the league when you have other people dependent on for their lives to play next year. You're going to have a total upheaval there. You're not going to do that. You play every game to win, and you coach every game to win, and you put your team in the best spot to win every week. Right now, Tommy DeVito doesn't do that more than Tyrod Taylor. He's been around too long, and he's got too much experience.
haven't there been teams that take their young quarterbacks and they go 1-15 or 1-12 or 3-11 or whatever?
The blue chip guys. They do it with guys for the future of the team, like the Carolina Panthers with Bryce Young right now. He's their future, the team supposedly number one overall pick in the draft. So they're taking their lumps, hoping he learns, hoping he gets better as they go along. So they're going to have a ton of patience with him. But if Bryce Young was a low draft choice or free agent or whatever, they wouldn't be sticking with him the way they are now.
There's no way.
All right. It sounds foolish to me. It sounds foolish to me. If you have a kid and you think that he's going to be part of your team next year and it's a lost season, you go out there and you let him play. He's not going to get better sitting on the bench.
Let me ask you, Doc. If you have you got a rookie pitcher in there and he's pitched a few games and you got like five games left and it comes down between him and Derek Cole to pitch this game, and even if the Yankees are out of it, you can let the kid pitch, or are you going to pitch the guy that wants to pitch, that's your ace, that's getting paid to pitch? I mean, who are you going to put the kid in there as a manager?
I don't think it's a fair comparison because Garrett Cole isn't. No, it's not, because Tyrod Taylor isn't Garrett Cole.
But I'm just saying, Garrett.
So if I have my number three starter, Nestor Cortez, and it's my 161st game of the year, and I've got this kid, and I think I might want him on my team next year. I'm pitching the kid. I'm saying, Nestor, we know what you can do. You've had a nice year. It's game 162 or 161. You know, take a seat, pal. You see that all the time. You see them playing the young kids in September. That's what teams do once they're out of it. They play the kids who they're looking towards the future to see how well they do in the games. That happens every year.
The point being is that you have an offensive tackle and you have a wide receiver who's playing for their jobs. And this is where the individuality of baseball and football are different. If you're going to go out,
but you brought up baseball.
I know. So I gave you what I'm saying. The comparison I'm trying to make is normally, and me as a manager in baseball, I want to win every game. I'm not going to say, well, we're going to try this kid at the end of the year and see if he can pitch or not. He pitched pretty good. The first five games we pitched him, he's 3-2. I'm pitching my best pitcher. I go to win every game, Doc. That's the way I would manage and coach. That would be me.
You ever hear of losing the battle to win the war?
No, but I've heard of paying people to play when that's what their contract says. I've heard that.
Right. But sometimes you lose the battle to win the war, because the greater payoff in the future is, here's even a better example.
Right.
It's Tyrod Taylor isn't even signed for next year. So you have a guy whose contract is up at the end of the year, Frankie Montas or something like that. And you say, am I going to pitch Frankie Montas for the ninth time this year? I already know what he can do. I've seen him over the history of his career. He's 32 years old. Do I want to pitch him in game 161 or 160? Or do I want to see what my young kid can do? I want to see what my young kid can do. I want to see him in game action.
I'm going to go with the guy that gives me the best chance to win always. I don't care if it's game 161 or game 162. I think winning is something that you've got to learn, which the Yankees evidently have forgotten how to do. I would play every game to win the game, Doc. I would never say, unless I'm in a position, as Jack says, with my first round draft pick, which I could have made a mistake on, but I'm going to play him as much as I can, because that's what I put all my investment into. Right now, I got a lot invested in Derek Cole. I am not going to allow him to sit down and let somebody else pitch, or with any of the other top three. I'm not pitchers of my – I play to win the game. I think that's something to do with culture. I don't think it's like, well, we'll wait till next year and see what this kid does. And maybe that's a problem with the Yankees.
I think the problem with the Yankees, this takes us on a big tangent.
Yes.
I just had a big discussion on Start Spreading the News about this. Last year, they brought up 2022, they brought up Oswald Peraza. And they sat him. He had a couple good games. They sat him. Why did they sit him? so that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa could play shortstop. And basically, you had your up-and-coming shortstop, your great future player, one of your top prospects, and the Yankees didn't play him. And that, to me, was a missed opportunity. So you could let a guy who's an average at best, and for his really career, he's been an below-average hitter, play shortstop for the last month of the year. The Yankees had a chance to see Peraza play for a month, and they didn't do it. If I'm the Yankees, I think that was a terrible decision.
Well, speaking of that, did you guys hear the news? Falefa signed a 2-year deal with the Blue Jays.
Yes, that's what started the conversation.
They paid him good money.
Yeah, $15 million.
$15 million, 2 years, yeah.
So, but I think you have to – there has to come a point in time where you say, like, I'm not throwing the game away, but I still also need to see what my kid can do.
But you are in football. You are throwing the game away if you're not going with the best player, Doc. The Philadelphia Eagles, they had no reason to win a game at the end of the year. They started their third-string quarterback and messed some other teams out of getting in the playoffs because they lost.
Right.
So you're not only affecting your team, you're affecting and other people's teams and chances of getting in the playoffs. I believe you go to win every game, Doc. And if that means playing Peraza, I'd play Peraza. If Peraza's better than Falefa, I'd play him. Right now, Tommy Cutlets is not better than Tyrod Taylor at this point. I play Tyrod Taylor.
So if I'm the Giant, I don't think he comes back next year then, because if he's not that
No. Tommy DeVito showed this year he's good enough to have a roster spot. He's
as a third-string quarterback.
NFL. Well, listen, you need three quarterbacks. Injuries take place. And if it was an emergency, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable with Tommy DeVito. Obviously, he wouldn't be an ideal choice. But he knows what he's doing. He's smart. You know, you have to fill him in okay. You're not going to get an outstanding quarterback as a third-stringer coming in. I mean, the Browns got fortunate with Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He was outstanding, you know, an excellent quarterback in his prime, a very good one, I should say. You know, he was a little over the hill, considered cut by the Jets, cut by the Eagles, but he could still manage a game, you know, block for him, have a running game, have the receivers. He can manage a game. You can win with Joe Flacco now, okay? He's not going to me, he's not the ideal choice. But he's been outstanding for Cleveland since he's took over. Let's see whether he can maintain it or not. But there's a body of work there for Joe Flacco. The Tommy DeVitos, they don't have the body of work. You just hope you could survive with them if you have to plug them in all of a sudden.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on because we're at the 3/4 of an hour spot already. Let's keep talking football. How come the Cowboys keep losing to playoff caliber teams?
Well, they're losing on the road. They've unbeaten at home this season. They've lost close, tough games, games they could have won. But they did get blown out in a couple of games at San Francisco, at Buffalo. And maybe the answer is maybe the Cowboys just aren't that good. Maybe because they have the name attached to them, the Cowboys. We always have high expectations of Dallas every year. The season starts, we automatically think Dallas is a Super Bowl contender. Guys, when we're out in public and we see jerseys or hats or this or that, Dallas is one of the top ones we see. There's something about the mystique of the Dallas Cowboys all around where we have very high expectations for them. Maybe they're just not that good, or maybe they're like, of all the NFL teams, or the 30 NFL teams out there, maybe they're the sixth best team. Not bad, pretty good, but just not good enough to get to the promised land. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, and maybe this is going to be their year after all, but they're going to have to do it the hard way. They're going to have to win on the road where they haven't had much success. I don't have an answer for this exactly. You know, outside of saying maybe the expectations we have for them are a tad too high. I don't know.
There's a couple reasons, and Dallas still has a chance to get a home field advantage. They're still in it, depending on what the other teams do to get the home field advantage. Dallas doesn't travel well because they don't have a running game. It's plain and simple. If you look at the teams that probably have a good shot at the Super Bowl, they all have good running games. McCaffrey with San Francisco, Swift with the Eagles, the two-headed monster out there in Detroit. I think Montgomery's their leading running back.
Yeah.
They all can run the ball well. You look over in Baltimore, they got a good running game over there. They have a good running game now with Cook and Buffalo just started kicking in over there. They travel well, Doc. When you got to have a running game to either hold on to the ball at the end of the game, run the time clock out, control the ball, keep the other team off the other team off the field. The Dallas offense is not bad by any means. They depend very heavily on the pass, and they don't have that big running back that can keep the ball on the ground and keep the ball away from the other team. And I'm not saying that the running back's not a good running back. He's okay. But he's more
like Tony Pollard. Well, yeah, Tony Pollard came off that bad leg injury last year.
Yeah.
And they expected more of a recovery, more of a bounce back. Yeah. Recently he's showing some signs of being the old Tony Pollard, but it's been disappointing all in all.
Yeah. They've got a one trick pony show over there. Their defense is crazy with me. Sometimes some games their defense is stifling, and other times you can run all over them. And I don't know which Dallas defense is going to show up. If the Dallas defense, the good Dallas defense, shows up, they're in every game. But that doesn't happen every week, and it has to do with turnovers, giving the ball away, and bad field position. But Micah Parsons has become a little bit of a downer in the last five games. He's only had one sack. I mean, the defense is starting to is not playing as well as it should be playing. So Dallas has a lot of problems, but they do have Rich says they're out coached. I don't know why everybody has McCarthy as a bad coach. He did go to the Super Bowl. He's won one Super Bowl. He's been in a lot of playoff games. I mean, he's just as good as Sean Payton, and people think Sean Payton's a Hall of Fame coach. He's been to one Super Bowl in many playoffs too. The record is almost exactly the same as far as going to the playoffs. He's got the same basic resume as Sean Payton has. So I don't know why they take shots at their head coach McCarthy there. Listen, Doc, I think the Dallas Cowboys could go to Super Bowl, but they're not a physical team as I thought they would be, especially with that offensive line. I really don't know what's going on over there. I think they're still throwing the ball too much, and maybe it's because they can't run the ball as effectively as we thought they were going to be able to in the beginning of the year. And in the playoffs, you need to be able to run the ball.
Well, we're going to find out over the next couple of weeks. So let's talk about an AFC team, the Ravens. Are the Ravens the best team in the NFL?
Well, what does it matter right at this moment? It's when the playoffs begin. We go week to week, and everyone's fickle. It's what have you done for me lately? It was the 49ers a week ago were considered the best team in the NFL. Now the Ravens beat them, so now we're asking that question about the Ravens, not the 49ers. What happens if the Ravens are to lose to the Miami Dolphins this weekend? Then are we going to ask, well, are the Dolphins the best team in the NFL? Is that going to be a debate question next week? You know, it all depends come playoff time. Like, we like to look at a team's overall record, what they did for the full year. But that might be meaningless, okay? It's how you're playing when the playoffs begin. I mean, how are you that week? How are you coming into a playoff situation? You just have to be the best team at that moment, okay, that you're playing another team. And but with that said, if I had to venture a guess right now, yeah, the Ravens are the best team in the AFC, I'd say, right at this moment. I mean, they certainly have earned that favored status. Lamar Jackson has been phenomenal. They got him a few weapons at wide receiver. Their defense, very underrated, is playing great. John Harbaugh, very underrated coach year after year. He's done a good job with the Ravens. And yeah, the Ravens aren't going to be easy to beat, but let's see them beat Miami this weekend. What happens if the Dolphins beat the Ravens? What are we then going to say? Okay, because the Dolphins have created a bit of a buzz. You know, with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle's going to be out against the Ravens, so that's going to be a major blow for Miami's chances of beating the Ravens. If the Ravens are truly the best team in the NFL, they're going to really take care of business against the Dolphins. They're not going to beat them by only a few points. They're going to have a resounding victory, beat them by 17, 20 points or something like that, and really send out a statement.
I agree to a point that the Ravens right now are the best in the NFL. Jack mentioned the playoffs, and that's the big question. Right now the Ravens got one of the best defenses in the league. They got a running game. They got a running quarterback who is starting to throw from the pocket more. And he has 15 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So he's almost doubled the touchdowns to the interceptions. The only thing I'm worried about is the playoffs. And every year the Ravens with Jackson as quarterback go to the playoffs and they've won only one game in the playoffs. And that's when he was MVP of the league. And it'd be interesting to see if he gets MVP this year and that same thing happens. For some reason, when he gets in the playoffs, either he pushes too hard or he puts the whole thing on his back. There's a block there, and I don't know
he
what it
is. He was hurt last year in the playoffs. He didn't play.
Oh, right, that's true. But still, I mean, even when he did, Jack, I mean, he presses way too hard. He gets inaccurate. I don't know what it is with the playoffs with him. This is a big year for him, to me. I mean, he just signed that big contract, and if he doesn't, you know, perform well in the playoffs this year, what are we going to say about Jackson? I mean, that he's great in the regular season. He's a regular season quarterback. So this is going to be a big test for them. Clearly, to me, in the AFC, they are the best team. I mean, the only teams that can compare to them right now might be the Browns, and I'm trying to think of the other team that might be able to compare with them right now. Is there another team? The Dolphins, Buffalo, maybe?
Well, I mean, Buffalo's in a little bit of an upswing. That's what I mentioned, like, with the whole season. Buffalo is 9-6 right now. So their whole body of work this season isn't impressive as far as the record goes. But it's how you're ending the season. And Buffalo got by the Chargers last, you know, weekend. But, you know, a team like Buffalo could be dangerous, a team that's really on an upswing. But right now, I mean, who would you rather have quarterbacking your team than Lamar Jackson?
Maybe Josh Allen. Maybe Josh Allen.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes.
No, it's Patrick.
And maybe not at this moment. Patrick Mahomes is struggling a little bit himself right now.
I mean, if Patrick Mahomes played for the Ravens, maybe, but he doesn't. He plays for the Chiefs, so there's a problem there. Listen, I and Jack is kind of not on board with Cleveland yet. I think right now, I think that the Cleveland Browns might be the second best team in the league right now in the AFC, right behind the Ravens.
Cleveland's going to have to win 3 games to get to the Super Bowl. I don't see Joe Flacco going against the elite teams and getting there. Maybe they can win 1 playoff game. That's about their ceiling.
The AFC
is wide open. I will say that. It's as weak as I've ever seen it because the Chiefs are obviously very beatable right now at this moment. Cincinnati hasn't panned out. That was a team I picked to win the Super Bowl in the beginning of the season. Miami's a wild card. You don't know what Dolphin team's going to show.
What do you think about the Raiders, Jack? Do you think they got a chance of sliding in there? If they beat the Broncos, I mean, that's a hot team right now.
I think they left it a little too late. I mean, right now, the Raiders, when you look at it, they're like, what are the Raiders? I think they're 7-8 right now, and they'll have to win the next 2 games. Go 9-8, and the Chiefs will have to lose their next 2 games, and then the Raiders win the division. It's possible, especially the way the Chiefs are struggling at the moment. But I wouldn't count on the Raiders quite making the playoffs this year.
You think Cincinnati can beat the Chiefs this Sunday?
Of course. The way the Chiefs are playing, and the Bengals still, even though they performed poorly last week against the Steelers, they're still a very good team. They're still talented, even with Joe Burrow being out. It is definitely a winnable game for the Bengals.
And the Raiders got the Colts. They could win that game.
Colts are overrated to me. I don't look at them as being any type of factor as far as going to the Super Bowl.
That's going to be interesting.
Or getting in the playoffs. But you don't know with certain teams. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars have been slumping. You know, they look like a possible Super Bowl contender earlier. I mean, it's so hard to tell who's going to peak or whatever, but you get the feeling there's one team that's going to take off on a playoff run. Look, the way it happened in baseball, who in their wildest dreams would have thought the Arizona Diamondbacks were going to go further than the Atlanta Braves? Your thoughts on Mac, and they go further than the Phillies and the Braves?
I thought they'd do good. If you remember, I said that's the surprise team of the year last year, so...
I don't remember, Mac. Whenever I don't remember, I like to hold you to stuff, because if I didn't hold you to the Dolphins and Chargers in the AFC Championship game all year long, you would have said, oh, I said Cleveland's getting there.
You got to write these things down. Let me ask you one last question here as we get to the ending of the show here. A year ago, not really a year, let's say last March, there was a lot of talk around the Jets. Should they get Aaron Rodgers? There was a lot of talk that the Jets might get Lamar Jackson. People were saying that. The Jets maybe could swing a trade and get Lamar Jackson.
Remember,
the Jets last year had a quarterback, backup quarterback, named Joe Flacco. Now, you guys were just having a conversation saying that Lamar Jackson might be the quarterback on the best team in the NFL, or at least the AFC. And part of that conversation said that Joe Flacco is the quarterback on a team that might be the best team in the AFC. Is this just another example of the Jets doing a terrible job, not swinging the trade for Lamar Jackson and or not keeping Joe Flacco?
Well, not keeping Joe Flacco made a lot of sense because he didn't play well when he was a Jet backup. He had one big game against Cleveland where, ironically, Wade led a comeback. He wasn't good when he was the Jet backup. He was gassed out past his peak. No one could have helped this Jet team this year. The Jets had Patrick Mahomes this year. They would have won a couple of more games. Instead of being what now, 6-10 are they or whatever?
You don't think if they had had Patrick Mahomes, they would have won some of the...
They would maybe be 8-8 the Jets if they had Patrick Mahomes. They weren't going to be...
They would have won only two more games.
Yeah, that's not good.
The team that didn't score a touchdown for like 47 weeks in a row.
Jack hasn't had his coffee yet. If they had Lamar Jackson, they would be in the playoff hunt right now. There's no doubt.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that.
There's no – the reason the Jets aren't good
– And Lamar Jackson is about, I don't know, 8 years younger than Aaron Rodgers too, which is interesting.
Yeah, that could have been 2-3 games better. Yeah, okay, 2-3 games better. I can't argue, you know,
all right,
that case. But the Jets – they didn't really have a serious chance to get Lamar Jackson. The Ravens weren't about to give him up. They couldn't have gotten Lamar Jackson. They could have held on to Joe Flacco, maybe as the primary backup. But that means they would have had to get rid of Zach Wilson. And at that time, they weren't certain that Zach Wilson wasn't going to pan out.
And he sure didn't. All right, look, Rick is saying great debate show. See you tomorrow. I think that's a great time for us to say great debate show. See you tomorrow. Mac, hit it.
Tomorrow on the big football show, we'll be having the Jet Man on since they played so well, and we'll be having Jason McMinn on also from Unscripted. He'll be joining us tomorrow. Monday starts a new format on Northeast Streaming Sports. Me and Jack will be in the morning on NESSP in the morning. It's a wrap with Mac and Jack. We'll be starting that Monday. And we got a couple other shows coming in too. We got NESP at noon, NESSP at night. So our whole format, our main big three shows will be coming on starting in January. So we'll see you tomorrow on the big show. Happy New Year's. If we don't see you, Doc, we won't see you till after New Year's. So happy New Year's to you. Don't party too much. And everybody else there, be safe when you're out there. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.